Very good morning. Glad to be back here again. We bring God's Word for the second week. If you have your Bibles, kindly open them up to Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 onward. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 39. This will be the passage, the section that we'll be looking at this day. The Bible verses will be on the screen. Begin by reading Matthew 15, verses 21, 30. Right. Verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "Is it not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs?" And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then he answered, and Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus went from there and went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And a great crowd came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry if they faint on their way." And the disciples said to him, "Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd?" And so Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd, and they all ate, and they were satisfied, and they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children, and after sending away the crowd, got into the boat and went to the region of Magadha. Last week we saw the top religious leaders from Jerusalem came to Gennesaret to see Jesus. They happened to bring a charge against his disciples, saying they did not wash their hands before they eat. They were violating a tradition kept by their elders that was oral tradition. But Jesus corrects the understanding in verse 11, saying, "It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of your mouth that defiles a person. What a person eats doesn't defile them, rather what comes out of their mouth, which proceeds from the heart, that defiles a person." Their heart, because their hearts are unclean, It's an idol factory of wickedness. Only Christ can cleanse and make that heart clean. Not external rituals that were made by men. Now, today we see, after Jesus having this encounter with the Pharisees and scribes, he's moving away from that predominantly Jewish region. He's moving to a predominantly Gentile region, where he's recognized as the Messiah. And he wanted to withdraw himself from the conflict between the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus has withdrawn himself before. It's not something new that he's doing. He has avoided large crowds that were following him and also religious leaders. He did not want them to make him king, or did not want to have escalation of confrontation with them. He has even asked people not to say anything or proclaim the miracle that he has done once he has done it for certain people, as we have seen in the previous chapters in Matthew. By leaving the Jewish territories, he may be seeking for a quiet environment. He's just giving some distance between himself and the Pharisees, which he had the confrontation with. Matthew is wanting his readers here, now as he moves to this section of the chapter 15, the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus as the Messiah. But this Gentile woman, who hardly knows about Jesus, seeking his mercy, and also great crowds later, witness his power and his compassion. I titled today's message, Jesus Among the Gentiles. And we'll be looking at 3 points. Jesus among the Gentiles, he extends his mercy to the Canaanite woman. He displays his power through healing. He demonstrates his compassion to the crowd. I begin with the first point. Jesus among the Gentiles, he extends his mercy to the Canaanite woman. The section begins, as we saw earlier, Jesus is withdrawing himself from Gennesaret, the district of Tyre and Sidon. This is the eastern side of Galilee, with the Mediterranean Ocean, as you can see up there. And Jesus previously has mentioned about this region, as in Matthew 11, verses 20 to 24. Where he's denouncing the cities in Galilee for their unbelief. He publicly condemns and rebukes these two cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida, and he compares them that if he has done mighty works in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. In today's message, we're going to see the first time that Jesus is moving out of this predominantly Jewish territory and he's going to a Gentile territory, and giving an emphasis that his focus has always been for the lost sheep of Israel, but now he's extending to go out of this region to a Gentile region. And soon as he's goes to this region, we see that a woman seek him for help. She's a Canaanite woman. She is completely non-Jewish by birth. She belonged to this Canaanite tribe, which God had told ancient Israelites to destroy because of their sinful and wicked lifestyles. As we see, this Canaanite, they were living in the area where Israelites lived before. The Canaanite pagan woman may have heard somewhat of this Jewish religion. They might have been introduced to this prophet of Nazareth. So this woman comes to the Lord with a burdened heart. A daughter was grievously afflicted. The Canaanite woman came to Jesus out of desperation. She comes to Jesus as he is the only hope for her daughter to be cured. He says, he has said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." It is a Jewish reference by the future descendant of King David. It is unusual for a Canaanite woman to know this term. He is referring to Jesus, as we saw in Matthew 9:27, where there's this blind man who also said, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." However, Jesus does not utter a word to this woman. He does not acknowledge her existence. He does not acknowledge her request. Now, we might be thinking why Jesus is not saying anything to this woman. Because he just recognized him as the Son of David, the Messiah King. His silence makes her to be more persistent in her request. She's begging, she's pleading. A daughter whom she loved is in a serious condition and needs his intervention. However, the disciples' response to her is simply to go to Jesus and to say, "This woman is annoying us. Please tell us to give us permission that we can send her away." But at that moment, Jesus answered, verse 24, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, his response may have sounded like a rejection, but Jesus is referring to his primary purpose of his ministry. He was sent as Israel's Messiah. He is telling the woman, "My task is to convert and to minister to God's ancient people, the Hebrews." But rather than taking offense of what Jesus said to her, or turning back, she responded by worshiping him. She bows down before him. She prostrates herself at his feet and cries out, saying, "Lord, help me." And again, Jesus explains the task, his task to her. Observe what he says. "It is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dog." In other words, he's saying to her, "I was sent to be the bread of life for Israel. This bread was not to be given to the Gentiles." Jesus is using here an unusual a religious slur where he's referring to the Gentiles as dog. It is a Jewish reference. Dogs were considered unclean. They were scavengers, also depicted to be causing harm. But in this context, Jesus is not referring to her as a wild dog, but more of like a household pet, which people used to have, and that would be with them inside of their house. Very similar to how some of us might keep our dog in the house. Jesus is not insulting this woman with an existing view that the Jews had towards the Gentiles, but he's testing her faith. At the same time, he's also using this incident to teach his disciples. "You think she is unworthy to receive the blessings of this Israelite Messiah? Watch her teach you what true faith means." Now, in response to her, Jesus' hard words towards this woman, she does not get offended. She does not respond back by saying, "How dare you call me a dog?" Neither does she respond, "How dare you say that I don't deserve some sort of a help or blessing that was only reserved for the Israelites. Her response was, "Yes, Master, that's true. But even household pets are well kept by their masters. The pets get to eat the crumbs that falls off the master's table." What she's implying is, in other words, I don't mind having the crumbs of the bread rather than the bread itself. Church, this woman in that response reminds us no one deserves God's praise. She's willingly able to accept her standing before Christ. Yet she still reaches out and says, "You are my only hope. Give me the crumb." This is not about really the position of the Gentile in the eyes of the Israelites during Jesus' time or prior to that, but it's really our position before God, where all of us, that's our position before the Almighty God, the Son of David. We all don't have an opportunity or that privilege to come go before Christ and demand that we deserve His grace and mercy. In contrast, we actually deserve His condemnation, His punishment. For the woman, Christ, seeing her faith, making use of the situation, He replied to her and He said to her, "Your faith is great. And He relieved and delivered the daughter from that demonic oppression. Because the Canaanite woman encounter with the Son of David shows similarly, like her, we all don't deserve God's grace or mercy. But God, out of His abundant mercy, has sent His Son to pay the debt of our punishment and made His mercy available to you and me, to all humanity, so that by believing in Jesus Christ, the Messiah King, the Son of God, we can have this mercy. Christ is not the Messiah King for the Jews only. He's the Messiah King for the Canaanites as well, and for this Canaanite woman, and for all Gentiles. His death did not pay the punishment of our punishment for the Jews, the punishment of the Jews only, but also our punishment as well, that we all deserve. This act that Christ, God sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die, is the greatest act of mercy by God Himself. With this, we are no longer separated from God. We're no longer separated by ethnicities or races, either by considering you're Jews or Gentile. There's no longer that distinction anymore. We are all reconciled to God. We are all equally loved and cared by God, the Father. And as Hebrews 4:16 says, with confidence we can now draw near to the throne of grace, that we have received, we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now the Canaanite woman also shows us how to faithfully seek Christ, even when He's silent, when we do not get an immediate response to our prayers. That God may not answer all our prayers right away. Maybe He wants us to wait, receiving what we request of Him. or maybe he's testing our faith, similar to what Jesus did with this Canaanite woman. That should not discourage us to find ways on how we can fix our problem on our own, but rather to continue to come before God with humble confidence, faithfully seeking Him, knowing that He knows what we want, even before we could ask. He cared for the Canaanite woman. He cares for us all. His love for us is deep. Because when we try to fix our own problems, the problems of our own, we often end up either with more problems, or in deeper mess. So when we are in a dire situation, when we are in desperation, when we are in need of help, go to the Father. He is a good Father. He wants to help His children. Your problem should not draw you away from God, but rather towards God. Jesus, among the Gentiles, He extends His mercy to the Canaanite woman. Jesus, among the Gentiles, He also displays His power. Places power to healing. Here in this section, we see Jesus is continuing His ministry among the Gentiles. He has gone to Tyre and Sidon, and now He's coming to an area, a region closer to its home, just to the other side of Galilee. If we look into the book of Mark, it will refer to He is at the region of Decapolis. And as Jesus has come here before. He has healed the two demon-possessed men that were living in the tombs, as I mentioned in Matthew 8. In this area, in the area of Tyre and Sidon, outside of Galilee, Jesus ministered to the Canaanite woman. Here in this region of Decapolis, He's going to be ministering to many people, many Gentiles. As mentioned earlier, though Christ's great mission was to be reaching out to the lost sheep of Israel, He's concerned and compassionate towards the Gentiles. And here, He heals many that come to Him. Even though Jesus has gone up to the mountain to be alone, He's not bothered by the multitude that are coming to Him seeking His hand and touch of healing. This is the purpose that is there in this region. He heals the lame. He heals people who had various physical disabilities. He heals people who are blind, people that are unable to speak. And He heals many others as well. This is referring to the people, others that were excluded of those who had the list that were falling into the list of these disabilities or affliction. They simply laid before Him at His feet those who were in need of His healing, and He healed them. The multitude was so impressed with Jesus, of what Jesus had done, they were marveled and they glorified the God of Israel. This great crowd actually didn't really know who the God of Israel is. Perhaps they would have heard about the miracles that the God of Israel would have done in the history of the ancient Israelites when they brought them out of, when He brought them out from Egypt to the Promised Land where they reside now, and how He has been their God throughout the ages. But now, having seen in their own eyes the authority of Jesus Christ, the power that He has to heal them, they're able to recognize it wasn't their gods or their idols that they worshipped that was able to bring about this healing, but it was the powerful work of the God of Israel through his son, son of David. So recognizing that, these Gentiles are praising the God of Israel for the mighty work God, Jesus Christ, has done in their midst. Church, we know this is true even today. Christ can heal. He has the power and authority to heal all our sickness, all our disease, all our illnesses, affliction, physical disabilities. He can do it. But yet again, we must remember God acts completely, entirely in accordance to his sovereign will. So in some people's life, you may choose to use suffering or the absence of healing or even a slow process of healing to accomplish his plans and purpose. That is ultimately the God of Israel, the God Almighty, will be blessed, best glorified in the life of those. However, those who are in need of God's healing touch, if at all, when they do not get the immediate healing that they desire, perhaps they even their suffering does not end as how soon they want it to end. That should not lead us to stop praying, to stop lifting up our suffering, to stop lifting up our problems before God, but to continue to trust God, to trust in his sovereign plan, in his sovereign will for each of us, in how he sees fit and how he sees best that he will be glorified in our lives. Jesus, among the Gentiles, he extends his mercy to the Canaanite woman. He displays his power to the healing of the crowd. And lastly, he demonstrates his compassion by feeding the crowd. Before we begin looking at this miracle that Jesus does, let me point out to you that this miracle is completely different from the miracle that Jesus did and which Matthew has accounted in chapter 14. Though they do have similarities, both have different emphasis. In verse 32, Jesus himself says to his disciples, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat." It is not the disciples that bring up this matter, but it's Jesus himself that he notices this. There's this need to feed the crowd. But to achieve this need, to achieve in feeding this large, great crowd, there's not enough bread. So he asks his disciples, "How many loaves do you have?" They say, "Seven loaves and a few small fish." And he directed the crowd to sit down. He took seven loaves and the fish, gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples. And they all ate and all were satisfied. And there were leftovers of seven baskets. So what is the significance of this miracle of feeding of Jesus feeding the 4,000. We can find the significance of this very miracle if we compare it with the miracle that Jesus fed the 5,000 plus people. In the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus teaches his disciples to be dependent on him. The disciples were the one who came to Jesus and said, let's send the people to go and buy food in the town for themselves. Jesus said, don't send them. He told the disciples, you give them something to eat. They said, I can't feed this large crowd. Jesus says, you're right. You can't. I can. In other words, Jesus was implying, if you're going to feed the people, if you're going to be, you're going to shepherd these people, you have to be dependent on me. That was the emphasis of the miracle with the feeding of the 5,000. However, in this very miracle, the feeding of the 4,000, God seems to be indirectly correcting the views of his disciples for their lack of sympathy in looking after the needs of the Gentile. In contrast with the first miracle, Jesus comes to the disciples here. These people have been with Jesus for 3 days. They might have run out of food supplies. Perhaps even the disciples would have noticed it, but they did not bring it to Jesus' attention until he brings it up. Jesus again is showing his disciples his compassion for the Gentile. And this is key for their later missionary work. Jesus is laying a very strong foundation for the missionary work that is ahead of his disciples, that is to be compassionate, to show mercy to the Gentiles as well. They are not only to teach the Jews, but they are also to teach the Gentiles all that Jesus has taught them. He's teaching the disciples to be reaching out to those whom they think that are unclean in their eyes, the Gentiles. Church, this passage also challenges us today to extend, to express our mercy and compassion to those that are outside of our congregation, those that have yet to know Christ, that have yet to experience his mercy and his compassion. Christ is the bread of life. This miracle shows he is not only the bread of life for the Jews, but he's also the bread of life for the Gentiles also. Not only limited to the universal church globally, but he is the bread of life for all humanity. And so the church is tasked to feed the bread of life, to share the bread of life with those that are spiritually hungry. How can we do that? First, we ourselves must be living our lives daily, feeding off the bread of life, the word of God, and living out the gospel that we once believed and that we once continue to believe, and displaying the love and compassion which God extended towards us to those who are yet to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The whole passage today, Jesus is going outside of the Jewish region. He's going all out to the Gentiles to minister, to teach them. His primary focus was to reach out to the lost sheep in the house of Israel. And later, he would be the hope to the Gentiles, for he is their Savior too. Matthew's accounts of Jesus ministering to the Gentiles gives us a glimpse of the scope of the disciples' ministry that is not only going to be limited to the Jews, but it's going to be extended to the Gentiles and to the ends of the earth. And also a promise which God made to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3, that all the families of the earth will be blessed. This will come to fruition too through Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we do not deserve your mercy. Our position is no different than the Canaanite woman. Lord, you extended your mercy to us Gentiles. You extended your mercy to all humanity by sending your Son to pay the price on the cross for the punishment that we deserve. Lord, because of Christ, Lord, we are no longer unclean. We are made clean through him. And we have access to you to come before you. Lord, we thank you for this gift that we can have of intimate relationship with you. The gift that we can have your mercy and grace, even though we don't deserve any crumbs of that. Lord, you saw us fit, even though when we were sinners. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord, we lift your name up high. And Father, we pray and we ask that you would help us to continue to seek you, knowing that we have the confidence to come before you through Christ, knowing, Lord, that we can come to you anytime to make our requests known to you, to bring our problems before you. Lord, you care for us. So, Father, we pray that we would continue to trust in you. We will continue to grow in that trust in you. To continue to have faith in you. Lord, even though some, where in especially times where our prayers are not immediately answered, but to be faithful in seeking you, faithful and being persistent in coming to you, kneeling down before you and asking for your help, similar as to the Canaanite woman. That we would grow in our faith, Lord, that we would continue to seek to glorify you. May our lives reflect Christ. May we be loving, compassionate to those that are yet to know you. That by looking at us, they will know that we are children of the living God, the God Almighty. And they will glorify you as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.